April the 18th, and I've forgotten what year it is. So tonight we've got, let's see, Big Brother, BSV, Madman, Sard, and Suave, Full House. I'm drinking a shot of Eagle Rare. What are you guys drinking?
Red's Apple.
Say that again, Madman?
Red's Apple Lager.
Ah, cool. Sard had Shock Top. Suave, what'd you have?
I'm drinking a Manhattan.
Trying to get classy on us? I'll have to shun you just for that.
Shun.
Big, what do you got?
Nothing, although I'm sure by the end of the show I'm going to get in the rum.
There you go, BSV. You drinking anything?
Melted snow coffee.
Rich bastard right over there.
And BSV wins the saddest drink of the week award. So I am sorry I missed the show last week, and believe me, the way my little trip turned out, I would have much rather stayed home and done the show, so yeah. And there's also a very high likelihood that the station will be up and down some over the weekend, as we probably get to rebuild the broadcast box. I opened a support ticket on the microphone issues we've been having with the software, and it got this fantastic response of... Well, it works on all these other audio programs. Obviously, it's with the you need to reinstall your drivers. What?
That's always the first thing they go for.
Yeah, thanks, guys.
Yeah, thanks a lot. $300 fucking software. Yeah, reinstall your drivers? Sure. You know, the part of the email where I told them that, hey, it's working with Audacity, and we tried it with three or four other sound cards, and guess what? It's still fucking doing it. Sounds like a problem with Sam. Yeah, reinstall your drivers. Yeah, thanks, buddy. Thanks a lot. I'm not pissed. No, not at all. So, yeah, we're probably going to do that this weekend. So, if the stream's up and down some, nobody panic. It's not Armageddon, although you can be forgiven for thinking that. So, anyways, I thought we'd go ahead and get into some discussion here. XKCD put up this interesting little comic. I've got it linked here. It's the slash 1200 1200, and he's got a little caption on there explaining the comic. If somebody steals my laptop while I'm logged in, they can read my email, take my money, and impersonate me to my friends, but at least they can't install drivers without my permission. And he's making a joke about how hard it is to get into that admin account, but everything you care about is in whatever your normal user account is. Which is kind of true.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, just offhand, how many of you guys let your web browser save your passwords?
Only for the sites I don't care about.
Yeah,
same.
I mean, just don't let it save any password. It's a habit I've gotten into.
Yeah, I mean, it's always struck me as a bad idea to, let it save your bank password so anybody can sit down on that machine and get into your bank account.
Oh, that's one you would care about and not.
Mm-hmm.
Some random firm you go to occasionally.
Yeah, exactly.
In my case, it's less I'm worried about somebody stealing the laptop and making off with my bank account, and I'm really just more worried about, say, Static and Madman getting their hands on my laptop and, posting strange things for my family to read on Facebook. But the concept is the same.
Oh, come on. Great. You don't want your parents to know you have a gay lover named Quad and a diamond pony named Butt Stallion? Come on. I've got pictures of both.
Yeah.
But they may be impressed of the second thing.
So Like, yeah, we're going to mine the pony and sell it on eBay. Anyways, let's see here. But, you know, you kind of get thinking along these lines here. Think about just how much can you actually do with a computer if it's, you know, logged into an account, but you never get the admin password. Well, there's a guy at DEF CON 18 who gave a talk on this. His Mac was stolen. And then, like, a year later, the thing's dying DNS started showing back up on the internet. And I've got a link to the YouTube video here, so you want to go watch it. This is an excellent talk.
It's hilarious. I've seen that one. It's a really good talk.
Hilarity ensues when the guy's dying DNS account shows back up, so he starts SSHing in to see what this person's been doing with his Mac. And, you know, he's just been living in the user account that was already there, so he's able to pull all of his passwords that were saved in the browser out of the keychain, the browser history, everything on the desktop. It's really a good talk. So, you know, you don't really think about it, but a lot of people can use a computer just fine without ever getting into the admin account. If the machine's already set up, you know, if you have to go in and add a printer or something, sure. But, you know, if the machine's set up enough to be functional, you know, you don't really need that admin account. So, you know, we've already mentioned saving passwords in your browser is a bad idea. Yeah, and the other thing is make sure you log out of accounts. Google is getting harder and harder to keep your account logged out.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they like to hang on to that logged in cookie, and you've really got to log out and make sure it logged out, because I've noticed, at least on my places where I'm using Chrome, I mean, I'll find myself signed right back in, whether I signed into an account or not.
That's a little sketchy.
Yeah, it's got something saved somewhere, so I'm hitting a web page, and you know, probably my Gmail account, and it's just signing right back in, and you know, it's just like, oh, you know, look at that, it signed me right back in, and it's just like, holy crap.
So, I'm having the opposite problem, actually. Every time I try to access my Gmail, it logs me out, and I have to put my password back in. Wouldn't be such a problem, except I've got like a 40 character long password, and it's a bitch to memorize, and it's a bitch to type on my cell phone.
Ah, so note to self, Big Brother hasn't changed his password in 2 years and is not likely to in the future. Got it.
You think. I've just changed it to another 40 character long string.
And then you get confused and enter half of the first one and half of the second one.
Done that before.
Yeah, but they'll just send you a text message with the correct password in it.
Yeah,
or a reset. Right.
Yeah.
You're good.
Reset it back to, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 so you can get logged back in.
No, it's 40 characters. You repeat that about a dozen times.
So, but, you know, this really just comes down to, you know, the XKCD comic was talking about if the laptop's stolen, but just really, you know, one, you shouldn't leave a laptop unattended anywhere. I mean, I guess if you're in your house and you've locked the doors, it's all right, but
on a personal machine, how many accounts do you need? I see segregating on, like, a work machine, because not everyone needs full access to a machine. But my machine, why not just keep full access to it?
Well, if you're running as local admin, which admittedly most people do on a Windows box, and you get a drive-by download malware, you just click a bad link, or, you know, hey, this super happy fun time, you know, email theme manager looks cool. So you install that and realize you've just installed the latest version of Stuxnet. You know, it's not so much, even with proper behavior, you get some misbehaving something, it's got full admin access too. So it's really just kind of a belt and suspenders. Like, if you're not running as admin, you'll get the little pop-up box saying, hey, you know, at least give it permission before it does something stupid. So, you know, if you go to install a program and you get that little pop-up, cool. But if you go to open a web page and you get that little pop-up, that might be enough to make you stop and say, wait a minute. Of course, nobody don't. Everybody just, you know, clicks allow, whatever. I want to look at my porn. Go away. You know, so. But.
Like, why is it trying to die? Four strokes on my fat channel.
What'd you say, Madman?
It just cost me 4 strokes on my porn channel. Looking at that one little link.
Hey, look at that old modem's lighting up for some reason. Gee, I wonder why it's doing. I bet almost nobody here knows what I'm referencing with that one, huh?
Hackers?
Back in the AOL days, there were viruses that would disconnect you from dial-up and then dial an ISP.
Oh, 1-900 numbers.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah, I remember those.
And you weren't supposed to know it had done it because it was supposed to be some special program to give you super secret access to the, you know, latest pictures they ripped off whatever, you know, Usenet or whatever. So, yeah, it was always a joke, but it's always great to, you know, when you see somebody's modem start going and realize they've got a virus from the 90s on their machine. But, you know, the other thing you got to watch out for is, you know, pretty much if you do have to leave a system unattended, don't stay signed into it. You know, lock the machine, shut it down, you know, unplug the monitor, take it with you, whatever. But just make it so that, you know, it's difficult for somebody else to use the machine if it's not you. If you work in a cube environment, you're probably already aware of if you don't lock your machine when you get up, you might get Hasselhoffed or Biebert. You know, that's where your coworkers lovingly change your theme to be, you know, something embarrassing, all these weird sound effects, and, you know, your wallpaper is set to, you know, usually something that looks like it belongs on the Facebook page of a 13-year-old girl. So, you know, just a thought. I guess My Little Pony could be something for that, too. So if you're looking for something to do to somebody else's desktop...
Brony them?
Huh?
Brony them?
Brony them, there you go.
Brony 2013.
Although nothing's going to beat hornymanatee.com for random backgrounds you can put on computers.
Well, you know, you think about it, the passcode on your phone is pretty much for the same thing. All you're really, you know, you're not so much worried about somebody stealing the phone and, you know, running up all these bills and getting all your text messages. You're worried about your drunk buddy setting the language to Chinese because he thinks it's funny.
I was sober when I did that.
Oh, fair point. But hey, it wasn't my phone, though.
You don't let me use your phone.
There's a reason for this.
You may get it back with odd pictures.
It wasn't the pictures, but that iPhone was in, you know, we had to look up online where the settings were, because that thing, you couldn't read a character on it. That was funny. But, you know, if you kind of think about it, phones are interesting in that regard because most of the apps don't have a concept of a logout. And, you know, your email's always going in them. And generally, if you've got somebody's email account, you can reset their passwords to everything else. So, you know, just set a good lock screen password and try not to leave your phone in the hands of, you know, childish individuals, I guess.
Childlike individuals. Childlike.
Ah, okay.
Same meaning, different connotation.
So, all right. Well, I know we've got a couple of people wanting to rage on this, so let's go ahead and move into current events. First one I got, this is, you know, all over the place. The story I got was from Daily Dot, but DSPA passed the House of Representatives, vote of 288 to 127. And, of course, they've got their little write-up here that CISPA is designed to make it easier for private networks that come under cyber attacks to share what they know with federal intelligence gathering agencies like the NSA and the FBI. Bill's many critics say that CISPA allow companies to recklessly bypass privacy laws. And we all know CISPA is not a great idea. The concept of the law is that it's okay for your ISP or anybody else to share your private data as long as it's with the government. You know, they can't share it with each other for advertising purposes because that would be a violation of privacy. But they can let the FBI look at it. That's essentially what the law does.
But don't they need a warrant to look at my stuff?
Not anymore.
Well, it hasn't passed the Senate.
What's a warrant?
It hasn't passed the Senate yet. And now this is a little strange for me because you look at it, the vote is pretty much right down party lines with the Republicans trying to pass it and the Democrats trying to stop it. And since I don't much care for this law, I'm actually rooting for the Democrats in the Senate to kill this thing. And it's just like, wait, that's a sign of the apocalypse right there. But, you know. I don't...
The Democrats still hold the Senate then.
Well, tomorrow when they vote on the damn thing, or whenever the vote is.
You know, I thought you were supposed to be able to call your representatives and say, hey, I'm your constituent and I want you to vote this way or this way or whatever. I think you should, not I want you to. So I spent most of last week calling my representatives and trying to get through. You know what I got every time? I got either a full inbox voicemail message or I got a dumbass intern. I said, I would like to leave a message for Senator blah, blah, blah. I guess, what's your message? I told them, and they said, whatever, I'll pass it along or whatever. They say a phone call is worth about 100 emails. You know what's worth more than a phone call? 200 goddamn IBM executives being mailed in just a fucking 2 weeks before this thing passes so they can just shove money up their ass! Where's my representative? I'm sorry, he's sucking money out of a lobbyist dick!
Hey, Big, if you're going to scream like that, you want to get a dynamic range microphone. They have a larger pickup sensor, and it'll sound a lot better than that little headset you're screaming into.
So my question is for Aryu, who's out there listening right now. Remember yesterday on Shoot the Noise where you said, if you don't say something to representatives, you have no right to bitch? I have a right to bitch. This is democracy in action. You get fucked, they get money.
Wow.
So, Madman, what PAX do you belong to?
You lost me there.
Political action committees. It's the way people with very little money get to stand toe-to-toe with IBM. You just get a bunch of people that think the same way you do, and you all spend the same money trying to get people to vote the way you want.
Yeah, I don't like those. That's no different from lobbying. It should be illegal. It should be a federal crime to try to lobby your senator. It should be vote tampering. That's exactly what it is.
No, actually, lobbying's kind of a constitutionally protected thing. You have the right to petition the government.
But did it say with money? Because no, they just only pay attention right if petition. You hand them huge sums of cash.
Well, that's graft, but you do have the right to petition your government. That's why it's hard to say you can't lobby because it's kind of right there that you can petition the government. But you're right, money's gotten so involved it's really rough if you're not, rich.
I'm not paying for the vote. I'm just telling you I'm not paying for you if you don't vote the way I want.
Yeah.
It's all a scam. It's all fucking corrupt. I mean, yeah.
So we just gotta hope the Senate says no, which I doubt, and we gotta hope that Obama keeps his promise that he'll strike it down if it comes to a desk, which I doubt. So that'll pass, and then now that they see that this one passed, they'll bring back SOPA, maybe PIPA. So, yay, they win.
Yeah, Obama's he'll sign it because he's still pissed about the gun thing, so he'd be like, no, I've got to sign something here. So
I'll strike down NDAA. What's this? Sign.
Yeah, this is why I like staying away from politics on this show, mostly because we rabbit hole it so damn fast. But let's see.
But on the upside, it's going to be easier for the government to see what I'm doing online. Yay!
Oh, no.
Hey, I mean that government will have the largest porn stash ever.
Don't they already have the largest porn stash ever?
They'll even be even larger.
I don't want to fund their porn. I have enough trouble funding my porn.
We have discovered a brony. Quick, send in the party van. Send in the party van. I repeat.
My God.
I mean, the Secret Service will never do their job if this passes. We already have trouble keeping him out of brothels.
But he was a bit busy, staring at the screen. And, well. So, Yeah, let's just stick on the CISPA here, because CNET has this nice little write-up. Apparently, Representative Alan Grayson, a Florida Democrat, proposed a one-sentence amendment that would have required the NSA, the FBI, Homeland Security, and other agencies to secure a warrant obtained in accordance with the Fourth Amendment before searching a database for evidence of criminal wrongdoing. Pretty much, yeah, CISPA is controversial because it overrules all existing federal and state laws by saying, notwithstanding any other provision of law. In other words, CISPA overwrites your privacy rights when it comes to the internet. This includes privacy policies and the wiretap laws, and companies may share cybersecurity-related information with any other entity, including the federal government. It would not, however, so CISPA doesn't require them to do it. That's going to be the leg breakers they don't talk about. It's like, yeah, you're going to do this. I mean, come on, you know they're going to do this. Because that's how they get their immunity from anything. So, yeah, and the story goes on about it. But I don't even need to read the whole thing. The real problem here is that CISPA is going to allow government, Alphabet Soup agencies to search the database they build by collecting data from ISPs. Claiming they're going to search it for things like investigating and prosecuting cybersecurity crimes, looking for child porn, kidnapping, serious threats to the physical safety of minors, and other crime related to protecting anyone from serious bodily harm. That's pretty damn broad. So they're worried that once this database gets built, they're going to use it for fishing expeditions and just try to find anybody that's, I don't know, ever hit visited 4chan, I guess, because I'm pretty sure it covers all of those that were listed in reasons to search database.
That's it, I'm drinking.
Did the amendment get passed? I mean, when it passed the House, was the amendment attached to it?
It was not. The amendment was not permitted.
It got struck down very quickly.
That's kind of the point of CISPA, is that they don't want the warrants at all. They want to be able to – what they want is they want to be able to set up something like IDS rules for the internet itself, and the FBI gets an alert. We may have potential lawbreaker over here. Now, they say they're doing it to look for kiddie porn and stuff like that, and I'm sure at first they would be. But there's a lot of other potential problems here. That's a that's like the theory that they're recording every single phone call ever made and searching it for keywords, right? This is actually doing that. So
it's going to get abused like mad during every election cycle.
That's the fear.
Whoever's in power is going to redistrict according to it.
Just to disrupt this, I encourage everyone to start. Those little forums that you go to and little signatures down at the bottom? Put some keywords in there, like nuclear holocausts are fun, or kiddieporn4you.com. Just do that, because that's what they're going to look for. And if the internet's just full of it, everyone does it, what are they going to do? They can't do shit. Can't arrest us all.
Stick it on
I'm sure they will try.
They will try. That's the problem.
Stick it in the background of about a billion websites.
Oh,
there's just this blue background on the website. Now there's also blue letters saying "fuck children."
Oh god!
See, that's the real problem. They're passing this bill claiming they're think of the children. I think that's the problem. They're thinking of the children.
Yeah. Oh, I'm gonna hack Pizza Hut's website just so in the little red hat that the Pizza Hut thing's wearing in red lettering. The same shade, it's going to say fuck children. Pizza Hut's going to be on every fucking government watch list because of me. Orps, I'm going to need some computer lessons here in about a week. Or yeah. I can just go back and listen to reruns of this. I'm pretty sure you've covered how to do what I want to do.
I don't know. We talked about web spoofing and I might have. I don't know. We've done 112. This is 112. Do you think I honestly remember everything I've mentioned on this show?
Nope.
Hell, do you think I honestly remember everything I mentioned on last week's, week before last show?
Just in case Anonymous is listening, I'm going to need some help with this, guys. I don't want it to be obvious on any website that you touch, but let's say Citibank. They have a lot of monotone colors on their website. In the background, you need to put bombing or killing the president.
You know what's crazy? If you do that right, you could probably get all kinds of keywords inserted in the code that would never render in the browser window.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, just HTML comments mainly, but you're right. Depending on how they're doing it, that would certainly trip up their alert system.
Every .gov website needs to have this on it. I'm going to B-Channel right now. We're starting a link. I want to get the B-tards in on this. The plan must go forward. We have to be ready if it passes the Senate. I want, as soon as someone flips a button, every government website is flagged.
I'm sure they all are anyways.
Well, if they're spending time investigating each other, will they be investigating me? The answer is yes.
I'm pretty sure they already do that, too. So, I don't know. Let's move on in the next story here. This one's from H Online. I've actually got several from H Online this week, but this one is, after Windows users report a problem with Microsoft Security Update 282.3.3.24, part of Security Bulletin MS-13036, the company has pulled the update from its automatic update service for Windows 7 Vista, Server 08, and Windows 2008 R2. The company recommends users uninstall the patch, the security fix for the NTFS kernel mode driver that was rolled out as part of Microsoft's regular Patch Tuesday this month has called some machines to crash with a stop blue screen of death error, and others to run the check disk utility on boot. The update is the second patch this year that Microsoft has been forced to pull after incompatibility problems. I'm going to stop reading the article there. Pretty much anybody who had Kaspersky installed, this update they applied to the NTFS driver, because that's what that DLL is. Yeah, so if you had Kaspersky installed, your hard drive, the file system driver was broken. Whoops.
Good job, guys.
Just a minor whoops.
Yeah. apparently, Kaspersky flagged the update. Yeah, it did all kinds of weird stuff. Like your Kaspersky license would decide it wasn't valid anymore, and your system would BSOD, and you know, stuff like this. This was actually a big deal because we had to do a bunch of stuff at work to make sure nobody had this thing, because yeah, Windows updates, they just roll out. And I can tell you from personal experience, if you run a WSIS server, which is a Windows System Update Services server. You know, notice how quickly they changed it after they realized their first acronym, you know, Windows Update Services, was WUS. But, yeah, they that update didn't go away from those servers, so if your company had pulled it down and had it on their system, it still got pushed, unless your admins noticed the, you know, the pullback and went in and removed it. Because, yeah. I can see this being a real problem for Microsoft if they push out a bum update, because the way they automatically go all over the place, that, yeah, this could be a problem. I mean, they're pushed everywhere. How do you get rid of them all?
Push another one.
Yeah, pretty much. Nobody
Here's
else?
An update to fix our last critical update. Please don't use your computer until you install it.
It wouldn't be the first time.
Fix the update.
Yeah,
what'd you say, Sarge?
Exactly. I was just agreeing with Madman. That wouldn't be the first time they did that.
No, they've done it several times. Apparently, twice this year. So,
well, I mean, it just gives you more and more reason to test what you're pushing out to all your computers. I mean, if you're a corporation, you should be doing that. Joe Schmo, and he only has one computer at home. Well. Kind of fucked.
Yeah.
I mean, it's either that or you don't patch, I guess. I don't know. Or you wait and you're like months behind to see if any other, you know, issues came up with the current patches, you know.
No, what you does Kaspersky put out?
Kaspersky's an antivirus.
A I see one downside to Windows attempting to make sure it works with everything is that everything is trying to work with Windows, so they can't check for compatibility with every program out there. They'd never patch.
Kaspersky's a pretty big one. I would think they would check that one. I mean,
it depends on their agreements or something, you know? I'm sure they do probably work real close to them, but...
Yeah. Well, hell, let's be realistic. I mean, if you've got a major commercial product, one that's got a significant user base, I'd kind of expect them to at least, have it running somewhere so they could at least try it. I don't expect full in-depth security testing or anything like that, but, have it on a box somewhere so they can just, reboot it after a patch and make sure the system comes back up. Like that.
Oh, I mean, it's totally on Kaspersky, in my opinion. I mean, it's not really Microsoft's fault. Like I was saying, you can't test that you're compatible with every single piece of software out there. So if you're a software developer, it's your duty to test and maintain your software and make sure it works with latest patches.
So they should have been testing for a patch they didn't have access to till it was already out breaking things.
Well, they should have. I'm sure Microsoft sends up patches to well-known vendors and things like that beforehand. At least I would hope so.
It's Microsoft. They probably make you have some kind of a contract and payment system for it, but
That's true, but I mean, I would think that would be in place. Maybe I'm wrong. I don't know.
If your business requires you to do business with Microsoft, pay them the money and then pass the cost on to the end user.
Well, keep your product running. A lot. I'm sure that happens a lot. So this one's from the USCert.gov, because that was actually the best write-up I could find on this, because there's a couple of different places. USCert is aware of an ongoing campaign targeting the content management software WordPress, a free and open source blogging tool and web publishing platform based on PHP and MySQL. All hosting providers offering WordPress for web content management are potentially targets. Hackers are reportedly utilizing over 90,000 servers to compromise websites' administrator panels by exploiting the host with admin as the account username, which is why I always remove that. first thing I do in any of my WordPress installs is change the admin name.
Well, it shouldn't just be WordPress, but anything internet-facing, you should not have admin or the administrator account. I mean, you're just asking for trouble.
No, you should definitely change that admin account to something unique. Dog Bollocks or something, that'd be good. Just change your admin account to something like Dog Bollocks. But, Cloudflare, a web performance and security startup, has had to block 60 million requests against its WordPress customers within 1 hour. The online requests reprise the WordPress scenario targeting administrative accounts. It's pure on password brooding. I mean, this is not a normal vulnerability. They're just guessing passwords. Let's see. Yeah, and accounts for a botnet supported by more than 90,000 separate IP addresses. A Cloudflare spokesperson asserted that if hackers successfully control WordPress servers, potential damage and service disruption could exceed the common distributed denial-of-service attack defenses. As a mitigation strategy, HostGator, a web hosting company used for WordPress, has recommended users log into their WordPress accounts and change them to more secure passwords.
Apparently, so they're saying our users shouldn't be morons.
Yeah, pretty much. But, they've got some recommendations in there. But essentially, it's a really big-ass brute force attempt at as many WordPress admin accounts as they can get. So I'm wondering if that's why G15 has been unresponsive a little bit. I wonder if we've been targeted by that, because the logs are huge anyways. So it's kind of hard to tell that from normal attempts, because we see attempts on the admin account that doesn't exist all the time. So I kind of started ignoring that. But if it's hit with enough, it might be enough to start to make the server choke a little bit. It might not even be G15. It might be somebody else on our server. But
right.
Yeah. So.
No, I like to think that we're big enough to be targeted by something.
I'm sure we've pissed enough people off to be targeted by something.
We have a user base enough to piss people off. Yes.
Oh, dude, you should have seen some of the hate mail we've gotten.
No, because I'd be clowning on all of them right now.
Oh, my favorite is the one we got because somebody thought we were too conservative. Like, no, we Cyberpunk Station can't be that conservative. No, God, no. It's like, what?
Yeah, that was a great one.
That was good. Let's see.
Too conservative. I think we have communists on the station regularly.
I don't really filter politically anymore.
I don't think you really filtered politically ever.
Nope.
On this show, I have.
I was talking your station in general.
Well, no, on the station, we're pretty open. I mean, you know, if somebody wants to make an ass of themselves and sound like I'm an idiot, and, you know, hey, good for them, but...
Hey, so. We need to get every listener type listening. Broaden our base, you know?
The thing I think is funny is people think we have some kind of political bend when over 90% of what we play is music. So...
And tech shows.
Yeah. Let's see. This one is from H Online. Three members of the LulzSec hacker group have pleaded guilty at a UK court. They confessed to having planned and carried out attacks on third-party websites together. Among their targets are various law enforcement agencies, including the CIA and the UK's SOCA, Serious Organized Crimes Agency. They have an agency for committing serious organized crimes? Damn. At least they're open about their corruption.
You have to pay the licensing. I mean, you can't have bootleggers and drug dealers without a license.
Report your crimes. It's the law.
I mean, it organizes bribing of judges. Makes it a lot easier if there's just an organization in charge of that.
Just set up a regular payment plan. They'll just do it through the credit processing system. You know,
spreads the bribes out evenly. You don't want any judges being left out just because they're stuck on some bench no one wants to pay off.
The LulzSec hacker group's spectacular campaigns attracted a lot of publicity 2 years ago. The group had intruded into web servers such as those of Sony Pictures Film Studio, the PBS News Service, and security organization InfraGuard, where group members have harvested user data and then released this data on the net with a fair amount of fanfare. Group members have also spied on security firm HB Gary shortly after the company CEO announced that HB Gary would disclose the identities of various anonymous activists. I think that company had to change their name and, you know, fire their CEO after everything that happened with them. LulzSec publicly disbanded in July of 2011. However, this is far from being the end of the hacker group's story. In March 2012, police in the UK, Ireland, and the US arrested 6 suspected LulzSec hackers. Back in 2011, the FBI had already apprehended a leading member of the group, 28-year-old New York resident Hector Xavier Montesur, or also known as Sabu. Sabu worked as an informer in the months that followed, which led to the rest of the other group members. Only one of the 8 LulzSec hackers remains unknown. Avnet, AV unit, had disappeared in good time. 4 LulzSec members were arrested in the UK. They've got their names listed out here. I really don't feel like reading them. They go into their bios of who they are. And, you know, Sabu isn't going to get sentenced until late August, it looks like. So, guess that's the end of LulzSec. So,
and yeah. Nothing of value is lost.
You know, speaking of pissing people off,
you know, if you're gonna break the law, you got to be willing to accept the consequences. You know, I don't really have a lot of sympathy. I think anybody who's doing anything that could get them in trouble needs to be aware of that.
We covered a lot of the LulzSec stuff early on Decking, so you know, kind of didn't realize we've been doing this stuff for that long, but damn. So yeah, early on we were covering it, so I thought it'd be kind of fun to close it out there.
Oh, absolutely.
So how long do you think before another group starts using their name, since they're already known?
It's probably already been happening.
They've already have. I'm sure somebody else has already taken up the name and is doing something with it. They're just not getting in as much attention. Mm-hmm. So
it'll be interesting how much time Sabu gets, if any at all, because everyone was saying, you know, how he's been working with the FBI or whoever, and
informing
them.
They totally flipped him, but I remember when we covered the story that he had flipped, that we all thought that, yeah, he's going to jail, they're just going to fuck him. But, you know, that's what they do, is they, you know, they promise you the moon to get what they want, then once they got it, they don't care.
Mm.
So.
That's why you get the promises in writing.
Yeah. So, the next one up I have is a blog post from the GenesisBlock.com, and this is going over some of the happening with Bitcoin here lately. Mt. Gox has been DDoSed again, and, it's barely, this guy's writing is terrible, so I'm trying to just kind of pick out what's important on it, but, the speculation is that they were trying to screw with the value of Bitcoin again. Bitcoin 24 isn't exactly living up to its name, and it has temporarily suspended operations. And BitFloor has closed operations indefinitely and will hopefully sell all cash and BTC accounts with its users. So, yeah, two exchanges are, one exchange is down. One of them is shut down. Also, it looks like blockchain.info, one of the most robust sites for tracking Bitcoin transactions, is also down due to a DDoS attack. So, yeah, a whole bunch of the Bitcoin services are being DDoSed, and one of them's even shut down completely. So, yeah.
You know, they are getting a lot better at dealing with this, though, because the volume is still way up, and they're actually dealing with the volume of trades now. And, whereas, they were down for, a day when they got hit by DDoS. Now it was, maybe a bit of lag for a little while, and that was it for most of these sites. That's, they're getting better. You know, it's still not perfect, but at least they're learning.
Well, and the guy's blog post makes a really good point at the top that these exchanges are not Bitcoin. These are various individual exchanges.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. It's kind of interesting because you see some people trying to treat Bitcoin like it's a currency, and you see other people trying to treat Bitcoin more like it's a stock or a call gold purchases.
Basically, people are just speculating on the value. They're trying to be day traders, and the problem is most of these people are first off, a ton of them just don't do stocks or anything like that. And it's damaging to Bitcoin to just have people just holding buying and selling and hoarding it, or just passing it back and forth on the market, because it's artificially inflating the price, and it makes it really the price really volatile, and makes a lot of vendors not want to deal with it. That's been happening a lot on a lot of these markets, and because a lot of these markets are small, they're very easily manipulated.
I'm just curious here. What's Bitcoin at right now? Because its price has been all over the place.
$120.
No,
say what? Mt. Gox got it at 116. Bitstamp's got it at 112.
I've been watching it since the show started, and it was down at 116, then it went up to 125, and then back down to, it's actually at 116.5 now.
With that huge spike it had,
mm-hmm.
it's probably getting close to the end of its dip, so if you're wanting to play that way, probably be a decent time to start buying it here soon.
Well, it did go up really high, and now it is kind of thinking about going back down. But if you actually look at the overall trend, it may have actually started on its way back up, but this might
also
be...
You think
it's
going back up again?
No, not necessarily. I really just still don't know enough. If you're just looking at the roller coaster, well, it's on an incline now. But if you've watched the past, you've had a lot of downward spikes, and that could happen at any time and be very large values. The price will change $10 in a matter of minutes sometimes. And,
but the speculation is, especially with all these DDoSes, is you've got people trying to push it down low with the DDoSes and bad speculation to, you know, get it down low so they can buy it up, and then hype it back up so it gets back up to $200 a Bitcoin and sell it all off and just, you know, rinse repeat. So,
not a bad idea.
No.
What about going the other direction and the conspiracy theory? I'm thinking that maybe there's people out there that want the DDoSes to happen or are causing the DDoSes because they want to see Bitcoin out of the limelight because of the purchases and types of things that you can buy with it. They kind of want it, you know.
They want it to be a secret again? Yeah.
Exactly. They don't want people to know about it because that way, you know, the government doesn't know about it. You know, they probably...
Too late.
Or those people out... Well, yeah, I mean, they probably don't want those Bitcoin ATMs to go out, you know, and
oh, this
you
is
know,
bugging
kind of make
me
it
now.
Back to the anonymous currency.
This is bugging me. What the hell do you call it when you buy a share of gold? Like if you're buying a, you know, an amount of gold and somebody else is holding it.
Oh, isn't it like a gold bond or something?
It might be a bond.
You can buy bonds. You can buy actual physical gold. You can incorporate it into an IRA account.
Well, no, there's a specific commodity, I guess, is what it would be.
Yeah.
But where you don't never you purchase the gold, but you never see it. It's more just kind of a certificate of deposit in
a, I think that'd be a bond then.
I think it'd be a bond too. I think you're right. But that's kind of how I see a lot of people treating Bitcoin at the moment. So I don't know because
I don't know. They're treating it just like any other currency. You can invest in dollars rather than just use dollars as currency.
That's true. That's true.
And with smaller currencies like Bitcoin or the Icelandic, I think they have marks. They were having a problem with it recently. Smaller currencies, people manipulate those all the time just to make cash off the individual trades. Iceland had such a problem with it that they're thinking of either taking up the U.S. dollar as their currency. They were looking at the Canadian dollar. They were trying to get out of the currency market entirely because their economy was too small to eat with people trying to manipulate it.
Oh, I'll bet.
Larger countries like China don't have that problem. And if Bitcoin gets big enough, then they'll cease having this much of a problem. One reason it's so volatile is, yeah, it's growing in market share, but
it's
a relatively
really small
currency.
Yeah.
It's really, really small.
Mm-hmm. So. All right.
It's going to be volatile until you get a couple hundred million people using it, or at least a few million people using it.
Yeah. I'm just waiting for you know the publicity stunt of some city somewhere saying that they're going to make Bitcoin their official currency and.
Well, it's already happened.
Really?
Oh yeah, they didn't actually do it. It was just a false news story.
Are you just another example bond of futures? Yeah, so that's what it was.
Yeah, but it was just another example of somebody trying to manipulate the market with fake news. They went on like the IBBC or something like that, the self-reporting section, made an article and then made a bunch of blog links to it saying like that Zimbabwe adopted the Bitcoin as their national currency. And I saw that reposted in a bunch of different places. And sure enough, the price actually shot up just a little bit. Like obviously it was all the gullible people who... went and bought when they first read that without really checking into this article. But seeing that headline was enough to make that price bump up a little.
You know, serious question, who would really care if Zimbabwe uses their currency? They're pretty damn poor. Why would you go out and say, like, oh, Zimbabwe's using it? Damn right I'm going to get in this.
People who don't know what Zimbabwe really is. It's like, oh, look, a country's using it. So... Anyways,
it legitimizes a virtual currency. We've had dozens of private currencies in the U.S., but they all fail because the government's not allowing them to succeed. And so long as no government's backing a currency, the currency's not going to work in the long term. Unless you're using a precious metal that's physical, then it's not a currency. You're just buying whatever it's made out of. Bitcoins aren't made out of anything, so there's nothing to give them intrinsic value.
We should use the platinum standard instead of, you know, whatever we do.
what, the platinum $1 trillion coin they were joking about or something?
Yeah.
We don't use a standard.
We have the... We deem it to be this value standard.
Yeah. All right. Next story up here. I want to get moving. Because we've got... I've got a couple other good ones here that I want to hit. The American Civil Liberties Union has filed a complaint with the U.S. Federal Trade Commission concerning how AT&T, Verizon, Sprint, and T-Mobile, despite having sold millions of smartphones, failed to update their customized versions of Android to fix security vulnerabilities. Android smartphones that do not receive regular prompt security updates are defective and unreasonably dangerous, says the ACLU. It notes that there's widely distributed malware which takes advantage of vulnerabilities for which Google has fixes available, but those fixes are not made available or have not made it to the vast majority of consumer devices. Those consumers are also typically on postpaid contracts of 2 years and are locked into devices that are not getting the updates they need. The problem is that although Google delivers security fixes, the customized versions of Android created by the carriers appear not to be updated, and the carriers appear to be unable to send out updates to users. Even where they are able to upgrade the device's operating systems, it is often just not done. Beyond operating system flaws, the ACLU notes that the stock behavior on Android is not updated regularly, and Google's Chrome for Android is only available for Android 4.0 and later. Many cannot make use of that, as around 44% of Android users are still on 2011's Android 2.3. I didn't realize the number was that high. So yeah, the ACLU is filing with them because they think that the carriers are screwing people around because they're not pushing Android updates.
I can kind of see that.
Yeah. You know, I think it's really unfortunate that so many people have to wait so long for those updates.
Well, that's true.
I mean, and you know, like, and it's almost like one could almost argue that they're doing this to force people to buy newer phones, so they can actually get newer software.
The newer software, I don't see ACLU as having a case, but not fixing security flaws.
Yeah,
I see that as a personal problem. But if I'm running an operating system that won't work with Chrome, I just need to buy another operating system.
Fair enough.
But yeah, they should be pushing for security fixes. That's the only thing I could see the ISPs being
well, they're arguing it's a defective product if they don't put out the security patches. And since Google does make them, I they've certainly got an argument there. And, you know, I can see on some of these older Android devices, it's rough to get a newer version of Android on them. You know, jailbreaking or not jailbreaking, rooting them or not. It's pretty rough to get a version of CyanogenMod for some of these devices just because they won't run the code. So yeah, it's a little bit more complex of an issue than the ACLU is making it out to be. So, I mean, because like they're complaining that Chrome won't work on the Android 2.3 devices. Well, that's probably because most of the Android 2.3 devices aren't capable of running a version of Android that'll run Chrome. Like the processor doesn't have enough horsepower to do it or not enough RAM. So certainly backporting the security fixes, but
that's one reason I don't see Android as being responsible for making their product work with all the newest programs or any program. They just need to make sure it's secure.
Yeah. Well, I kind of like, I'm not sure on this because on one hand, I certainly like the idea of a legal precedent that if you're not, you know, maintaining a device for a reasonable period of time, because they're talking about a lot of these people who still have the older Android phones or are in contracts and, you know, have a hard time buying a new phone. You know, there is a defective device argument to be made there if they're not patching it. But on the other hand, I don't like the government being involved at all, because then you start ending up with weird regulations and shit like that. So,
well, if they actually win a lawsuit, then somebody can come up and say, "Hi, I'm running Windows 95. And it's not compatible with these lists of things," and then sue Windows.
Yeah.
Problem isn't that Windows isn't putting out a product, it's that you're using Windows 95 and then trying to do some stuff that was designed in 2012. It's just not going to work.
Yeah. I don't know. I kind of see both sides on that one, and generally prefer the government not to be involved in anything just because I don't like those people. But Yeah. I could see that one either way. Last story I've got for tonight, and this one's just funny. It's from Huffington Post. Physicists have devised a new experiment to test and see if the universe is inside of a computer.
Hey, there's been arguments for a long time that we may actually be in a simulation of sorts.
In fact, it's almost the more reasonable explanation.
A philosophical thought experiment has long held that it is more likely than not that we're living inside of a machine. The theory basically goes that any civilization which could evolve to a post-human stage would almost certainly learn to run simulations on the scale of a universe. And given that the size of reality, billions of worlds around billions of suns, it is fairly likely that this is possible. It has already happened. Or that if this is possible, it's already happened. And if it has, well, the statistical likelihood is that we're located somewhere inside that chain of simulations within simulations. God.
Yo, dog.
Now they're nesting it. So inside of VMware, we're running, Microsoft Hyper-V. And inside of that, we're running VirtualBox. Inside of that, we're running QEMU. And we're using that to play DOS.
It when you just look at it from the pure numerical standpoint of, if you are in a universe where it's capable of simulating other universes, then it doesn't even have to be the full universe. Like, when you think about it, how much would actually have to be simulated if it was just based around the human race? Not a whole lot. A couple planets and a very large fucking HD screen around the solar system, then you'd be good. But,
the skybox. The universe is just a skybox.
Yeah, exactly. So that universe could do this a number of times. So just the sheer number of possible, existences, the majority of those would theoretically be virtual. So when just from the number standpoint, it is something that's interesting and should be looked into.
Well, apparently researchers at the University of Bonn in Germany have found evidence that The Matrix was less than fiction. That story was by now another team has devised an actual test to see if this theory holds any hope of being proven. Professor Martin Savage at the University of Washington says that while our own computer simulations can only model a universe on the scale of an atom's nucleus, there are already signatures of resource constraints which could tell us if larger models are possible. And this is where it gets complex. Essentially, Savage has said that computers used to build simulations perform lattice quantum chronodynamic calculations. If you get any more adjectives in there?
I think they made that word up.
No, those are all real words. They're just strung together. dividing space into a four-dimensional grid. Doing so allows researchers to examine the force which binds subatomic particles together into neutrons and protons. But it also allows things to happen in the simulation, including the development of complex physical signatures that researchers don't program directly into the computer. And looking for these signatures, such as limitations on the energy held by cosmic rays, they hope to find similarities within the own universe. In other words, they're trying to find out where the resource constraints are in the universe.
Don't crash the system. We don't want to reboot.
I kind of hope we are in a computer simulation because I would Wouldn't love to get access to the code in that thing and, if nothing else, make a backup.
How do you get access to the admin console in the for the universe?
Probably LSD. I'm thinking LSD.
Brute force this. I think it's going to be God.
Think about this for a second, though. Let's say we are in a simulation, we do find out that we're in a simulation, we can start impacting outside of that simulation. Whoever's running that experiment is going to fucking panic and shut us down.
Don't let them know!
If we find out that we're in a simulation, everybody's going to have to pretend that they don't know. Because otherwise they're going to, our experiment is going to be invalidated and they're just going to turn us off.
Guy who finds out.
And think about it, though.
Would you say big? I'm sorry, I stepped on you there.
Just imagine how meta it would be if we realized we were in a simulation. and we started just messing with the people out of there. And then we started simulating our own universe in this simulation. Just, it's cool.
Well, it certainly makes the concept of parallel universes a lot easier to happen. You know, it's just somebody running in the virtual machine next door. So
yeah.
Anybody who's played with VMware knows what I'm talking about.
I was going to say, we're just a VPS, and it's another server on the same host.
Are you saying we have to get past the firewall to get out of this universe and into the next?
No, no, you're going through the networking interface. I say we try to crack out of the hypervisor and get back up to the core operating system, because then we can affect all of the other universes.
All right.
So, God.
Can I just give myself superpowers?
I think we're gonna give somebody an aneurysm. So I've got a new Digital Dojo sound. I want to test it on you guys.
Hate it.
I don't know. I gotta think it sounds more digital or more dojo. Anyways,
anybody more dojo, else? Less fun though.
Less fun.
Yeah, it is. You want to throw a bit crusher on that if you want more digital.
That's a good idea.
It needs more drum. I'll mess drum with thing it. At the end. That was good. It got cut off. I need more of that.
I'll mess with it. I'll see what I can come up with. But, you know, just so we don't confuse anybody.
Me love you long time.
Maybe we ought to cut the two together, like, you know, have the little da 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 da, then have the guy yelling.
That could work. I like that.
Yeah.
So, anyways, all I've really got for Digital Dojo, this is a very easy Digital Dojo. Archive.org, somebody uploaded Omni Magazine.
Yeah.
All of it. Omni was a science and science fiction magazine that was published in the U.S. and the U.K. It contains articles on science facts and short works of science fiction. The first issue was in October 1978, and the last issue was in the winter of 1995, with an internet version lasting until 1998. And, of course, there's some more information on the archive.org page. They run into the history of the magazine. Apparently, it was around before they launched. It kind of led to the launching of Nova on PBS. But, you know, it's a good read because there's a lot of good science fiction in it. And, of course, there's good science articles in it as well. So I say go enjoy some good science fiction for Digital Dojo, you know? So especially since we're talking about universes within universes and, you know, hacking the Matrix with LSD and God/God. so, but yeah, so go hit up archive.org, go pull down this magazine and enjoy that, because that'll probably be just as good for you as, you know, staring at a Metasploit console for a few hours.
Archive.org is badass, man. That site has all sorts of good stuff on it.
Yeah, anybody who thinks archive.org is just a Wayback Machine, take another look.
Yeah, there's all sorts of good stuff on there. For free.
Yeah.
Legitimately for free.
Actually, yeah, we had a raid archive.org for more content for the stream.
Better.
No. Yeah. Well, speaking of the stream, we're always updating it. Listen to it. You know, we're always looking for new music. Biggs recently recruited some new bands for us. Apparently, we've been raiding archive.org behind my back. Of course, Pure Decking every Thursday, Shoot the Noise on Wednesdays, NR7 whenever on Mondays, the Galaxy 15 radio site, the Twitter handle, the feedback form,
the
IRC channel. Ah, I caught myself. Is anybody watching the IRC channel? I didn't even sign into it tonight.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, I forgot to.
There's somebody's in there wigging the fuck out right now.
Probably. I usually remember to join it, but I forgot this time.
I was so pissed though. About the, you know, the check your drivers message. I didn't even think about it. Did I miss anything on feedback? I think that was
You missed a show.
No, I'm only referring to actual shows. If you guys are going to cut something up later in, you know, Audacity and post it on the stream, we can talk about that. But yeah, that's not a real show. So
yeah,
Yeah, you keep telling people that, and you can answer the emails. People going, well, where is it? So
it'd be great.
Yeah.
Would that be, I'm right with Morps on Mondays? After,
that would be, sir.
I don't know where this joke came from. I really don't.
So. This is one of the reasons why I can't do a show. Apparently there's supposed to be a show after, so if I put out a show, it'll cause a temporal anomaly to affirm.
Okay, what you need to do is you're going to need to break out of this simulation of a universe and go get into the one next door where they're actually doing the I'm Right show.
I think I found the task manager for the universe, guys.
Hey, this can't be good.
Do us all a favor and just kill Bieber.exe right now.
All right.